This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week. And welcome to episode 30 of Old TV with a New Twist.
30.
Isn't that something, Gino? 30.
I like that I'm the 30th.
You are the 30th. That's it's like good. An anniversary show. And my son-in-law, Gino Gio, is here for his fifth time at the microphone. Gino, you feeling more comfortable?
Oh, yeah. I feel good. I feel like I know what to expect now.
Right.
Pretty good.
You seemed comfortable from the start, though.
Oh, yeah. I love talking about stuff like this.
Okay, great. Well, you do an excellent job at it. Gino and I watched Barney Miller this week, and this was actually a request from our listener, Mike Kenny. So this goes out to Mike. This was interesting. I can't wait to hear what Gino has to say about it. It's a show I'm sure you've never seen before. Have you, Gino?
I have not seen the show before.
Have you ever even heard of it?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know. I keep thinking Barney Fife. I don't know who that
is.
Oh,
no.
Every time I saw Barney, I just thought that, but I don't know who
Barney
that is.
Fife is the Andy Griffith show.
Okay.
Whole different Barney. Well, let's talk a little bit about this show. It lasted 8 seasons. It ran from 1974 to 1982, 171 episodes. It is the story of Captain Barney Miller of the New York Police Department 12th Precinct Detective Division, and his staff handles the various local troubles and characters that come into the squad room. Is this accurate?
That is accurate. That is what I witnessed when I was watching it.
Right. I never watched this show ever.
No.
I remember it being on in the 70s and early 80s. And whenever it was on and I would look at it, it would just look drab to me.
Yes.
There was nothing aesthetically pleasing on the set at all. Not only was that squad room set very drab, but they never left that set. Did you notice that?
That was when I was watching it. I noticed never once.
No.
Like they would like leave the office at a commercial break. And then when the commercial break would end, they would walk back in. They never went away from the office. And I was just like, kind of reminded me of like a play. Like they were sitting there in the office and like other people were like moving around in the background. Because like all the characters are in the same room
right.
at all times.
Well, one of my little mom's useless trivia things that I usually say at the end, I'm going to say now, because as I said, there was 171 episodes. Only 13 of those episodes included a scene shot outside of that squad room.
That is something that I've been wondering.
Yeah.
Because I went and flipped through on YouTube. There was like a bunch of other episodes. So I just like flipped through them just to see if they were in somewhere else. And they were not. The only thing I noticed was in the opening credits. He's like walking down the street. But he walks into the office.
But the whole show was shot in that office. But anyway, Gino, give me your overall opinion of the show.
This was a tricky show for me because I've watched it multiple times. And the first time I watched it, I was like, it's pretty good. It's funny. Some of the characters are funny. And then I watched it again. And then I was like, it's kind of all over the place. And then I watched it again. And then I related to other shows. And I was like, yeah, the show... It must have had like a really cheap budget. And that's all I really kept thinking about. The laughing throughout the whole episode. I don't know who was on. Because at first I thought it was a laugh track. Because after every single thing that they said, it was laughing. And I was like, who is pressing the applause button right now? I noticed the entire time. It was very distracting.
Well, you know, I don't know if that was filmed before a live audience or not. Did they say?
It didn't say, but I think it was because at one point I heard a guy go like, woo.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, that's probably a live audience. But it was whoever was on the trigger for the light that says applause was hitting it hard. And there's no music in the show. No transitional music. There's nothing like that. Every time they like went to another scene, it was just, everything was quiet. That's why it reminded me of a play.
Right.
Because it was just like sitting on a stage, no music. And then people just started laughing uncontrollably at all times. Like every single word. It was like, ha ha ha. I was like, that, it really wasn't that funny.
Really? Yeah. See, I didn't even notice that.
It's like literally the first thing I noticed and it just stuck with me.
The one thing I noticed about it, because we've, you know, obviously with this podcast, we're all watching a lot more shows now. We're watching older shows, newer shows. We're getting to be quite the connoisseur of the TV sitcom. But I was watching it with my husband, and you know, like they said, it's about a squad room, and there's just a parade of all these characters in and out, people breaking the law, whatever reasons. And there's like, I think, three different storylines that come through, but there's no one cohesive thread that goes through this episode. It's not like, oh, the episode starts, there's a problem, and then we have a middle, and then it's solved. No, it's kind of all over the place. Did you say that?
Yeah, it is definitely all over the place. The thing about it is I relate everything to Friends. It's like my favorite show ever.
Okay.
And in Friends, they have an ensemble cast, and there's different storylines in different places. So like they'll be watching Ross over here.
Right.
But Joey and Chandler have a storyline. They still cut back and forth. This, they kind of like, everybody was in everybody's spot. Like, everybody, because they're all in the same room together. So everybody's like, they're talking to this guy, and then they'll flip and talk to this guy, and then they'll go into the main office.
And it's all happening at once.
All at one time.
Yeah.
So I do, it wasn't very cohesive. And I found myself being a little, just not confused, but like, kind of like a whirlwind. Like, all right, over here, over here. And it was really hard to, because it was my first time watching, it was really, really hard to figure out who was who. Like trying to keep their names together.
Yeah. We watched season 4, episode 13, The Ghost, which aired January 12th, 1978. The characters are Captain Barney Miller, of course. And then there's Sergeant Nick Yamana. He's the little Asian man.
Yep.
Then there's Stan Wojciechowicz, who they call
Wojo.
Detective Ron Harris. Sergeant Dietrich. He's the one who's the know-it-all. And then there's Officer Levitt. He's the patrolman in uniform.
Yes.
That's who works in the squad room.
Right. And that's, I have a little note about each one of those guys.
Okay. What you want to say about them?
Well, just judging from the show. From this one episode, The Ghost, Woj, or Wojo, he's a jerk. He's like the stereotypical, like, jerk cop.
No, he's kind of goofy.
Woj or Dietrich?
No, Dietrich is cerebral, like know-it-all. Knows everything about everything.
I found him to be a little strange. For his notes, I have compassionate and strange.
Aren't they all a little strange?
They all have like their little jokey quirks about them.
Yeah.
I have Woj as a jerk, and we'll get to that after we talk about it.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear. Point out to me when he's being a jerk, okay?
Okay.
And I'll see if I agree.
And then they're detectives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Detective Harris. I just have a question mark by him. He had no point in this episode, so I can't get a good read on him yet. Or Detective Yamana.
Yeah.
I have him very funny and dry.
Very dry,
I liked him. And then Officer Levitt. I just put yikes.
For what reason? Yikes could mean a whole bunch of things, Gino.
I hate those types of characters.
Really?
I hate them.
What did he do?
No substance. All just dumb.
Okay.
Everything he said was just for like that cheap laugh. And it just... And I feel like all shows from like the 70s have that character.
Yeah.
And I just hate it.
So let's join up with all the detectives at the 12th Precinct at the Detective Division. It starts where Sergeant Yamana gets a phone call. Someone is reporting a disgusting display on 10th Street. Gina, what is the disgusting display on 10th Street?
I believe they described it as a pornographic bakery.
Yes.
So I assume it was phallic-shaped bagels and donuts and things.
A pornographic bakery. And they said the window display of cakes and pastries are shaped like nude people and different parts of the body. And he said, and she is particularly offended by a pair of strawberry cupcakes.
Yes.
Which I thought was hysterical, because I'm trying to think, now come on, in your mind, were you thinking, what did they do with those strawberry cupcakes that was so offensive?
Well,
I was trying to picture something.
Yeah, I was trying to picture as well, because they talk about it throughout the episode about the different pastries.
Yeah. They are getting ready to leave to go check out the pornographic bakery. They're going to leave the squad room, and they're going to go on a call about a man who's tearing up his apartment.
Yes.
And then that's when we go. That's just the little beginning setup. And then we go into the opening theme song, which we just listened to. And you said, it sounds like a 1970s theme song or something like that.
A 70s theme song that people who watch the show would go, oh, that's Barney Miller's theme song.
So now we're back to the show. And they're coming back into the squad room. And with them, they have Elliot Porter, who was the guy who was tearing up his apartment. But he claims it wasn't him. Gino, who was it?
Oh, I forget what he called him. It was a guy from the Revolutionary War.
Julius.
It was an imaginary guy who was following him.
It was a ghost.
Yeah. True. The ghost.
He said there was a ghost in his apartment who apparently threw the cat at the detectives.
Yes.
When they went in there. And Wojo calls him a little fruitcake left after Christmas.
Yeah.
Because they think he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, Julius is probably laughing at me. And they're all like, who's Julius? So he explains that Julius is the ghost that lives with him. But Sergeant Dietrich, whatever his name is, knows everything. So he says it's a poltergeist, which I've never heard it called poltergeist, which is described as it makes its presence known by making noises, being disruptive, and they usually died under tragic and bizarre circumstances.
Yes.
So Julius died during the revolution. So he fits all the criteria.
He does.
Do you know that I have firsthand knowledge of a poltergeist?
I did not know that.
Did you know there's a poltergeist at the St. Tammany Parish Library in Madisonville?
I had no idea.
His name is Javier. This is a true story.
Okay.
And it's a little boy. Back in the late 1800s, he drowned in the Chifuncta River, right adjacent to where the library is.
Uh-huh.
And it's the, we have the Maritime Museum next to us and the library. Well, our library was built 7 years ago. And he used to haunt the Maritime Museum. Hmm. And when the library was built, the Maritime Museum noticed that he wasn't there anymore. Things weren't happening. And they said, you know what? We bet because he's a kid. He just does goofy kid stuff. We bet he went over there. So they called the manager at the library and said, look, if you notice weird things happening, it's Javier. He's harmless. And we have doors open and close. We have all these little glitches that happen. And we always like, there's Javier again. So it's true.
That's pretty cool. I've never heard that story before.
We all believe it. We all know he's there. We'll say, come on, knock it off, Javier. You know,
funny. It's,
yeah. Hmm. So this kind of my own experience with this poltergeist made me believe this guy a little bit. Gino?
I don't know.
Okay.
I feel for him. He's a little wacky.
The fruitcake left open from
what? He might have ate the fruitcake and got a little sick or something.
Okay. Well, Sergeant Yamana comes in the middle of all this, talking to this guy and taking his statement all about the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Yamana comes in after going to the pornographic bakery, and he has a box with him. What happens with the box, Gino?
Well, he shows everybody what's in the box, and they're all just looking at whatever's in there, and they make you want to, they make you wonder what's in there, because they never say what's in there.
Exactly. But the looks on their faces, I was cracking up laughing just at their expressions of what they were looking at. It's like, oh, I wonder what they were.
Yeah. And I like when he, it's about to go to commercial, and he leans over to, Barney, and he says, oh, you should have seen what was, in the gingerbread houses.
Oh yeah. What was going on in the gingerbread?
What was going on in the gingerbread? And he was like, a bunch of tiny little felonies.
Well, that's the thing that Ted and I were saying when we were watching it, is that they're never going to show us what's in the box, because not knowing makes it funnier. Gino, did you ever see any X-rated bakery items?
Yes, probably so, yeah. Bachelorette party cakes and things like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, my mom used to own a bakery.
Mm.
And people used to ask her to make some things. And the only thing she would do was boobs.
Huh.
She did boobs. I've seen a lot of boob cakes.
But did she have her own pan?
She wouldn't do anything else.
Like a boob mold pan?
Well, just little round right. ones. Sometimes they would say, I want a C cup, I want a D cup. She'd have to trim them. But
that's more.
Yeah, she would do those. So that's the only thing I've seen. But they were talking about something about the bagels or something.
Yeah, they were talking about bagels and the poppy seeds or something.
Oh, something about poppy seeds. Yeah, they made a comment.
He's like, I've never seen poppy seeds do that before or something.
But it was a very funny scene, I thought. So we've got the crazy guy with the ghost, and now we've got the pornographic bakery. Now, who comes in next?
The couple who was not a couple, but is married. Where did you say he was from?
From another country. What did
he say? But he is married to a prostitute, and she does not want him to be around anymore, and they were causing a disturbance.
So in front of her apartment.
In front of her apartment, so they brought him into the station.
And they say, well, so in other words, he paid her to marry him so he can stay in the country. They correct. Pretty much admitted. He said
yeah,
that,
he
kind
says,
of.
Yeah.
So they're like, well, we're just going to call immigration. But then some strange things start to happen. What starts to happen? Gino, tell us about it.
So the officer Harris pulled the drawer out and it fell to the ground and they were blaming it because he didn't close it correctly. And then the coat rack fell over and they were blaming it on not balancing the coats correctly on it. It was probably...
Mr. Porter knows better. It was Julius.
It was Julius.
I've seen Javier do those kind of things. But Mr. Porter claims that's who it is. So they lock him in a cell because he's getting more and more agitated.
Yeah.
But then he gets the crap beat out of him in the cell by...
Julius. Julius is choking him.
He's got him up against the bars.
Yes. But then Barney just comes up to him and says, stop. And he magically stopped. So who was it?
What do you believe here, Gino? I thought it looked real. I was believing Julius was real.
And it looked as real as Jim Carrey's scene in Liar Liar, where he's kicking his own butt.
In the bathroom. Well,
in the
there
bathroom,
you go.
Yeah.
That was real. So all this is going on at once. We've got the nutcase and supposedly a ghost. And we've got the hooker and the illegal immigrant and all this in the presence of pornographic baked goods.
Yes.
All going on at one time.
Yes, all in the same room, all in the same shot. Everything is just
everybody.
There. You got to really keep your head on a swivel.
So what did you think of that? Do you think it made it like dynamic feeling like there's so much going on? Was that a good thing or was that a bad thing? I found it a good thing. I think it kept it moving fast. It didn't drag ever.
No.
I thought the pace was good. I thought the comedy was good. I thought it odd that we didn't have one story arc from beginning to end and one thread. But yet, in a way, it's kind of ingenious the way they're doing this.
Yeah, I thought pretty much the same things that you were just saying. I just thought it was a little hard. It was confusing for a minute. But like once you get the flow of the show, it's fine. I just felt like this show is it's very character-driven. If there's nothing else, it's like all these characters. And I know it was just one episode, so I'm sure in other episodes it builds on like their like personal lives maybe. And I'm sure it went on for 8 seasons, you said.
Yeah.
So it had to do something else instead of just having people and arresting people and being a detective. So I could see it going both ways. From just watching this one episode, I could see it going like, all right, let's get some interesting stuff going on or super character development, like learning more about them. So I could see it going both ways, and it would have to be a high amount of character development if they never leave the office.
Yeah, they don't leave the office. So all the character development we see would have to be within their workspace, which how much can you really do, you know?
Yeah, if they don't like go on dates or do stuff like that.
Although, what do we know about these characters from what we see? We can see that Barney Miller's kind of the sensible one, always the one, the voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that, like we said, Dietrich is the cerebral one, kind of smart one. The old guy, Yamana?
Yeah, the Asian guy.
Yeah, he was just quiet and, you know.
Yeah, super quiet.
So you could kind of tell a lot about them personally by how they conducted themselves in here. We're going to talk about Wojo. And his interactions with the hooker. Is that what you were?
Yeah.
Okay. What? Because he was sitting there interviewing her at the desk, taking her statement.
He was getting the statement from the woman, and she's saying how she does not want to be with this guy at all. And her husband is saying how much he wants to be with her and that he loves her and will do anything for her. And she's just like, leave me alone, leave me alone, leave me alone. And Wojo is just like, she's just a cheap hooker. And then her husband like loses his mind, which is one of the worst acted scenes I've ever seen in my life. And I just like, and then he's like, oh, I'm sorry. He just seems very like short tempered just in that, in this episode. I don't know how he is in other episodes, but short tempered, like all the bad things you would hear about a police officer. He just seems like he would have those qualities.
See, I didn't think that. I thought he felt bad that this, because you could tell this little man really cared about her and loved her. And he was saying things like, you know, you don't have to sell yourself on the street. I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
And she was basically saying, buzz off. I don't even want to see your face again. And Wojo cared about the man. And he's like, dude, don't waste your time on her. You know,
I can definitely see that.
So I didn't think anything of it. I really kind of was like, yeah, somebody take up for him, because she's beating him to a pulp.
Yeah.
You know, she's being true. So mean, you know. But the thing was that the immigration agent comes in. And the main thing, I think this is the question of all these, when you question these marriages, whether or not you're doing it just to get a green card. Has the marriage been consummated?
Yeah.
And Mr. Stefanos, that's the name of the immigrant man, didn't understand the question. You know, did you consummate the marriage? So Sergeant Yamana comes and opens the bakery box and shows him. And he says, oh, I get it. Just another thing to make us question, what's in that box?
Yeah.
What he still wouldn't say, because it's not gentlemanly. It's, he wanted to respect his wife. So he's a good guy. So he concludes there's no concrete proof that they're breaking immigration laws. So the hooker and the immigrant leave. But what happens before they leave?
I think he, prostitute's husband, gets a little, finds a little soft spot on her.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of is like, oh, if you want to call me if you need anything or whatever.
Right.
So she left the door open for him. I don't know. Are those characters, are they just for this episode?
I think they're all just one-offs.
Just
that's one-off. It.
Gotcha.
So it didn't really tell us much.
No.
Just immigration didn't get them this time. Okay, so it seems the storyline for the hooker and the immigrant are wrapped up.
Yep.
And then we have the crazy man in the cell, which they maybe crazy.
Maybe
crazy. He could be completely telling the truth and Julius could be real.
It's possible, but highly unlikely.
So what happens to him? How does his story kind of wrap up?
They call it the banana boat, which is the bus.
Have you heard that term before?
I've never heard that before.
Okay, me either.
The crazy bus comes and gets him and is going to take him to the hospital.
A mental hospital.
Yeah.
But before he goes, he said that Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, insanity is often the logic of an accurate mind overtaxed. What say you, Gino?
That's pretty accurate. If you're doing something for like, you're super like into something, you could go crazy. It also makes you crazy. Sounds crazy.
Well,
that's what Officer Levitt says. He says, oh, he's crazy.
Well, but wasn't it enough to make you think maybe, you know, I don't know, because still I'm on the fence with this.
No, he's a, I'm.
No?
He's on the crazy train for sure.
Okay. But then he leaves to go get on a banana boat and something crashes in the squad room.
Did they even say what it was?
We never find it. Was like in the other room. They were all just kind of looking.
Yeah, just look in there.
Like
somebody said it was a paperweight.
Did Julius stay there? Is he going to remain?
I don't know. I have to watch the next episode, see if he's still around.
But you do not believe in the existence of Julius. Yes or no? Do you believe in Julius? No.
No.
I do. We'll have to agree to disagree, Gino.
I believe in crazy.
Either believe in crazy or Julius. So there's another story.
Wrapping up.
Kind of wrapping up, leaving a little something behind, though. Mm-hmm. Stuff's still crashing. But we never do get anything else with the pornographic bakery. I mean, they didn't shut it down. He just went and patronized him and brought back a box of...
He went and looked around and said, can't really do anything. Not really breaking any laws.
Right.
So they just kind of ended it. But I thought it was pretty funny.
And that's the end of the episode, pretty much. So what did you think of this? Did it feel kind of unfinished? Did you feel like it kind of just cut off abruptly? And you're like, wait.
For sure.
We're used to these shows wrapping everything up in a nice bow. Mm-hmm. And it really didn't, did it?
No. It just kind of was like, this is what we're going to talk about and we're just going to end. It was a very conflicting show. Because every show that I've watched, I'm not a big into being like, oh, this show sucked or it was terrible. Mm-hmm. It was good. It was definitely confusing. For some reason, I could not I guess because I've never really seen a TV show like that, where it's just like this room with these people and they never leave it. Right. So every show that I've ever watched is they're over here, they're over here. Even if it's like different places, it's the same places, but it's multiple places. Like right. There's five different sets. This is just one set and just let's go. People in and out the door.
Some interesting people.
Yeah. Well, that's the good thing about police and detective shows.
It's, right.
There's always a storyline that right. you can
and,
make.
And couldn't we say that it may be accurate in that when people, you know, they come in and they get questioned and then either they're released or they're sent on to a jail or a banana boat or wherever they're going, there isn't always a tied up ending.
No.
In that they're going on to someplace else or the case is dismissed. So
for sure.
That's accurate.
Yeah. For sure. You know, the, like you arrest somebody and that's probably the last time you see him. It goes on to the DA or the judge or whoever.
And next week you're going to have all new people wandering through here with all different crazy cases. So maybe that's the beauty of it. Maybe it wants to be different than other shows. It's not going to be beginning, middle and end of one storyline. It's just going to throw a whole bunch in there and then it's all just going to spit out on different ends and wind up with the same people in there that you started with and do it again next week.
Yeah. That's why it reminds me of theater. It's just people on the stage and just talking and the awkward quietness because there's no music, no anything.
Now that you think about it, that's true. But I think that was all on purpose to set a certain mood.
I just thought the budget was super low.
Well, it had to be. It ran for 8 seasons. It had to be a successful show. Unless, let's talk about characters. Who was your favorite character and why?
My favorite character is probably Barney. Or Detective Umana, just because Detective Umana was funny. He had the one-liners, he was dry, but he could be serious at sometimes, even though he wasn't in this episode, unlike Officer Levitt, who was just...
Levitt.
He was just a dummy. So Officer, or Detective Umana, and Barney. I like Barney because he's the...
voice
mediator.
Of reason. Yeah.
He can be silly, but he can be funny. I liked him.
Humor meter. 1 to 10.
Humor meter. That's a good question because nothing was like laugh out funny to me. I never like laughed.
There was laughing the whole time though, Gino.
That is true. You would have thought that it was the funniest show ever made. Nothing
Come
made
on.
Me laugh out loud.
The there pornographic, when they looked in that box, that didn't make you... Oh, I thought that was
just
funny.
It's cheap comedy.
Okay.
I liked the one-liners. Scene with the immigration detective. Mm-hmm. He's like trying to guess like all their ethnicities.
You talking about him with Dietrich?
Yeah.
That was funny.
And he said, is your mother French? And he said, no. And he said...
He said, your father is?
And
he
your
said,
father dead.
Dead. Yeah. He said, well, what was he before that?
Alive. I thought that was pretty funny.
I have that one written down. That was very funny. Okay. So humor meter 1 to 10. Give it a number, Gino. You're not going to get out of this.
6.2.
You've been talking to Tony Marino. You got to give those weird numbers. 6.2. Okay.
6.2 for sure.
All right. Now, watchability meter. Watching this, did it make you want to watch a little more?
So I watched the episode 3 times.
Wow. The committed. First, I love the commitment.
The first time I watched it, I was like, pretty good. The second time I watched it, I was like, it's kind of all over the place. And then the third time I watched it, I don't know if it's because I watched the same episode 3 times, but I was just like, is this good? I went from this is good to this is eh. And usually it's the opposite. Usually I'll watch it and I'll be like, this is better than I thought. So that's what made me go, I don't know about this one.
Yeah.
Watchability, I give it, I'm going to stick with a 6.2 again.
Really? Okay.
It's good. It's not a bad show.
Is there anything in your notes we did not cover?
No.
We have to bring in your wife for her opinion that she wanted to state.
Yeah,
and then
she watched the show with me.
We will go through Mom's Useless Trivia after that. Okay, we've added someone to this. My daughter and Gino's beautiful wife, Eden. Eden, welcome to the podcast.
Heck yeah. Hello. Beautiful wife.
Beautiful wife you have there, Gino.
I like to think so.
Well, Gino did say that you watched the show with him, and he can't wait to hear what you have to say about this show.
I know, I'm very curious. She hasn't given me any answers on what she thought.
I was so confused by the whole show. I was so confused.
Overall, you have to say what you told me.
I said it was a terrible show, but I loved it.
That's very confusing.
Well, it just seemed like There was no real storyline. It was just weird. I couldn't figure out, like, things that the audience thought was funny wasn't funny. The audience clapped a lot, but, like, I liked it.
That's pretty much exactly what I felt.
This is a match made in heaven. I'm looking at in front of me because y'all said kind of the same thing. And I never noticed the weird clapping and all.
Oh, my gosh. Man. When the Russian guy left, the audience went nuts. And then when the lady left, the hooker left, the audience went nuts. Like, they had just given, like, the best performance of their life. And I was like, they were in 30 seconds of this episode. And they're not even main characters. What's going on? But, like, it was interesting. I thought it's a very good idea for a show.
Because you could just throw anybody up in there, anything. The sky's the limit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's no telling. Because you don't have to keep, like, a through line with characters. Like, it's just like,
nope.
Who's the next episode about?
Another crazy person. Right. Another person breaking the law.
Right, somebody seeing a poltergeist, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very interesting. As we were watching, I kept looking at him and we were like, this is terrible. And it ended and I was like, this was awful. And he was like, you think? And the more I thought about it, I was like, it's actually kind of interesting. But, like, bad.
Well, let me ask you, Eden. The poltergeist name was Julius.
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe in the existence of Julius or not?
No, absolutely not.
I told Gino my poltergeist story.
What's that?
Javier.
Oh, at the library?
Yes.
Oh.
Which makes me believe in Julius, because I've seen a little mischievous poltergeist hanging around.
That was another thing. I feel like they just didn't go too deep into any storyline. Because Julius could have been real because stuff was getting knocked over.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll never know. Because
we'll never know what was in
a 30-minute episode. And we don't know anything.
And we don't know
the guy going to get deported? Probably not. Are they going to get together? We don't know.
What was in the bakery box?
What was in the bakery box? What was it? Because the things they were describing were all very different things. You know, is the ghost real? Nothing was tied up. Like, he was just going to the hospital because he was a crazy man.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yep.
And we'll never know.
No.
On to the next.
Yeah.
Usually television shows get a little bow tie and everything up at the end. This didn't happen.
Yeah.
But yet.
It feels like that's what really would happen at a police station. Because I always ask Caleb, my brother, for the listeners, Caleb, who's also on the podcast, he's a firefighter. And he'll tell me about, like, I'll be like, oh, I saw a fire truck. And I'm like, well, what happened? And he's like, I don't know. I go to the scene and then I leave. I don't know what happened. I don't know where they are now.
Yeah. Put people in an ambulance, send them to the hospital. You don't know if they lived or died.
Yeah,
you don't know.
That's real life. There is no follow-up. So I thought that was kind of cool that it was just very much like through the eyes of a real police officer. Like, it's like reality TV, but scripted.
We could say it's a police squad room where people just pass through. Mm-hmm. They're just passing through. There's no real beginning and end to their stories. We just catch them somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, which going in, I thought it was going to be like a regular sitcom. Coming out, I was a little confused.
Very unique.
But the more I thought about it, yeah, I was like, well, it's super unique.
I might think I changed my mind to where I really did like it.
There you go. He wasn't sure.
I was on the fence. But, like, the way you described it, I feel like it's kind of accurate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me tell both of you Mom's Useless Trivia, and we can comment on it.
Okay.
During its broadcast run amid many cop shows on television, which there were many in the 70s, in case you caught Dad and I's podcast about 70s detective shows, many real-life New York Police Department officers considered this the television show that best depicted the realities of police life.
Interesting. That reminds me of Scrubs, the television show Scrubs. They say that is the most accurate to a hospital and to how doctors actually work.
So maybe it doesn't look a lot like other TV shows because it more resembles real police life than just a television show.
Right.
Interesting.
Maybe we can throw that out there. And I told Gino this, in the entire run of 171 episodes, only 13 of them showed scenes outside of that squad room.
That's crazy.
That is insane.
That's weird.
Well, they saved money on sets.
Yeah.
Early publicity for this show touted it as a cop show without violence. No serious violence ever took place on camera.
The only violence I saw in last night's episode was Julius kicking the heck out of that guy in the cell. Holding him up against the cell.
Okay, and two of the props in the police station were donated to the Smithsonian Institute Television Museum.
Hmm.
Y'all want to know what they were?
Was it what was in the bakery box?
Yeah. I'm going to say Barney's desk.
Nope.
I'm going to say the cell, the jail cell.
The cell door.
Okay.
Yeah. And that chalkboard where they all wrote their name on when they came in and out. Remember, it had all their names on it?
Oh.
Did you notice that?
Nope.
No? Okay. All right.
No, but I believe you.
I saw a picture of it when I was looking through IMDb.
Okay. Well, those two things are in the Smithsonian Museum.
Interesting.
Eden, who was your favorite character?
Oh, the little Asian man.
Oh, Yamana.
Hey, I loved him.
Funny guy.
He
was funny.
He gave me the most chuckles.
Did you have a laugh out loud moment?
There were a couple of times where I chuckled. I think it mostly had to do with the bakery bottle, but nothing that specifically sticks
out.
That's
what I said. Nothing made me laugh out loud, but no. I did think things were funny.
But are you guys enjoying the watching of these old shows that I'm forcing upon you to do this podcast with me? Oh, gosh.
This one, I've given the most thought to this one, for sure.
Okay.
Other ones, it's just like, oh, it's just a TV show.
Yeah.
But this one is a unique TV show, not like the other one. So I definitely thought this one was more interesting.
Yeah. This one was, definitely probably the most thought-provoking that I've done.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, yeah, because the other ones were all just really straightforward. This one was unlike anything I'd ever seen.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate watching all the old shows.
Okay, good.
When I get my assignments, I'm not going to lie, I'm like, ugh, I want to watch this old show. But then after I watch it, I'm like, it's pretty good.
Well, okay, good.
I'm starting to think the 80s and 90s are a little old now, too, so I might want to jump on one of those.
Okay.
Right.
In other words, look, I'm tired of the 60s and 70s, mother-in-law. Let's move on. Let's go.
Right. He's like, Friends, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is
Friends forever.
Old TV with a new twist. I like to do shows y'all haven't seen. Get your opinion on them.
We can do old TV with the new twist, because how many shows have you watched in the 90s?
Well, we did that with Tony Marino. We did Saved by the Bell. Yeah. He had seen it and I hadn't.
Yeah.
So we kind of turned the tables. We can do that again. We'll do that. Well, thank y'all both for being here. I enjoyed it as usual.
You're welcome.
And will you both come back again?
We will. Be back.
We'll be back.
Don't have a choice.
Yeah.
All right. Thank y'all. And since we didn't mention a certain show, instead of saying goodbye, we got to say Seinfeld. Say Seinfeld.
Seinfeld.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.